السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما My noble audience, last week on the conclusion of our talk, I made mention that we will conclude the topic of Hazrat Umar. And inshallah this week we will speak about the Ahl Bayt. I would like to make a slight change to the statement that I made. Inshallah we will speak about the Ahl Bayt. But there was a very important message that I could not relate in the few Jumu'ahs that we had. And I would like to relate that message that I believe is very, very important. It will resonate with each one of us. And many a times we are asked questions pertaining to the topic that I'm going to discuss briefly. And inshallah it will give you ammunition to defend your faith. Nowadays there are many people in the modern world that are studying the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. There is a book that has been printed in Germany, in the German language, that I came across that is of 7 volumes on the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. People are doing PhDs on different aspects of the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. My Shaykh Mawlana Sajjad Nu'mani, Damat Barakatuhum from India, who is one of the greatest scholars in modern time, a great thinker, he makes mention that if you read the entire book from cover to cover, the 7 volumes, the one objection that they take, and the entire imarat of their study has been constructed upon that one objection. And they say that Muslims of modern time, alluding to us, are not terrorized by the environment, but Muslims are terrorists from the inception of Islam. They say Hazrat Umar was a terrorist, na'udhu billah. And they make mention that look, once he took control of the Muslim Ummah, he became Amirul Mu'mineen. Immediately, he dispatched armies to fight against the Romans and the Persians. And we hear this many a times. So if somebody comes to you and they say that, why did the Muslims go to Rome? Why did the Muslims go to Persia? These people were living in their countries. Why did the Muslims go? So it is something that we need to know. We need to know the siyaq and the sabaq, the background to why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala dispatched the armies towards Persia and towards Rome. And then we will link it to the adl of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. If we rewind, we will come to know that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived in Makkatul Mukarrama, a place and a community that had sunk into darkness. They had lost the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. They were ingrained with good qualities, but they had lost the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. It was a very complex arena. It was a very testing arena. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a messiah, as a savior, as an educator, as a teacher. And in a very short time, he changed the landscape of the Arab Peninsula. He changed the mindset of humanity. One of the people that came into the fold of Islam, and to be precise, the 40th person to accept Islam was Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And according to the most of the historians, the 39th person to accept Islam was Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. So in a very short time, two prolific personalities entered the fold of Islam. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. We made mention of that last week or the week before that. Now the Sahaba could really appreciate the value of Islam, because they had lived a life that was not in accordance to the laws of Allah Almighty. They had lived a life of darkness prior to accepting Islam. So they knew how they were living before arriving into the fold of Islam. Now they have accepted Islam. When Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this profound religion with the Sahaba, that revolutionized their life, brought a change into their life, made them think differently, gave them an understanding of the mortal and the immortal worlds, Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, in his very short tenure of 2.5 years more or less, had many internal problems that he had to address. One of them was the irtidad, that people were turning away from Islam, and there were wretched people that stood up and claimed to be prophets. We know the stories. When this settled down, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq moved on. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an became the Khalif, selected by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an as the best candidate to lead the Muslim world. One of the first missions that Hazrat Umar addressed and he entertained was to dispatch armies towards Rome and Persia. Rome and Persia, and no one can deny that. But we have to understand why. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was an embodiment of adl. When you speak about Hazrat Umar, the first thing that comes into mind is adl, his justice. All the writers of the world, of the modern world, they write about Hazrat Umar with a clean heart or with a dirty heart. They cannot deny the adl of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. We don't need to get into that topic. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was well aware of the injustice, the zulm that the people were encountering by the hands of their leaders. May it be in Rome, may it be in Persia. So messengers were sent that let us speak to your people. Let them make that decision. Give them the choice to accept us or reject us. Give us the choice that we can give da'wah to your people. They accept, they reject. That is up to them. Because they need to experience what we have experienced. Because we were in the theater of zulm, just like our brothers of humanity in Persia, in Rome, are in the theater of zulm. We were blessed with a Messiah, with a Savior, with a Prophet, who delivered us, who pulled us out. لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, from the valleys of darkness towards light. He has moved on. We are playing His role. We have come to save humanity from the zulm. Just give us an opportunity to speak. And let the people make a choice. They accept us or reject us. But the tyranny of the people, the tyranny and the zulm of the leaders was what? Such that they did not allow this. Meaning that if we are in a country where there is freedom of da'wah, you're not allowed to fight. If people have the opportunity to choose between right and wrong, then you are not allowed to fight. Keep in mind, if water is available, you do not make tayammum. You make the wet ablution. If water is available, you do not revert to the dry ablution. Water is available. The leaders of the world, the superpowers in those days, did not allow the Sahaba to come and give dawah to their people because they knew that the people would accept and they would lose their control because they were controlling them by dhulam. And no person likes to be treated with dhulam. Islam has given us the freedom of thought, the freedom of expression. We speak about freedom of expression. Islam has spoken about this well before. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when they did not entertain this, did not allow the Muslims to give the da'wah, then they resorted to the physical encounter. We find that the truce of Hudaybiyah that was struck 6 years after Hijrah. If you think about it, and you study the truce of Hudaybiyah, and the events that led to the truce of Hudaybiyah, where people have come to perform Umrah, and these people are not allowing you to enter, and you are in power, the first thing that comes to mind is physical encounter. Let's challenge these people physically, as was expressed in a subtle manner by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. We all know the story. But da'wah was not given to the people. There were many, many people that had not received da'wah. So against all odds, the laws of Allah intervened. And the Nabi of Allah, he signed off. Meaning that these 2 years, for the next 2 years for example, we will have the opportunity to give da'wah. Let the people make the choice. And as we know that in 2 years, a very large group of people that were adverse and staunch enemies of Islam, they entered the fold of Islam. So many a times people stand up and say, let's fight against the wider community. Keep in mind, if there is freedom of da'wah, there is no permission of fighting. And let me say one more thing. We have more freedom in these countries to give da'wah than many, many Muslim countries. We have more freedom in these countries to give da'wah than many, many Muslim countries. I can grow a beard without any fear in Australia. There are many Muslim countries, so-called Muslim countries, you can't grow a beard. We know. We are in this world. We understand. So how can our youth and youngsters with zeal and passion only think about the physical side of it? Water is available, you do not make tayammum. You make wudu. I would like my noble audience to listen to the echo of a statement that was made in the tenure of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that amplifies what I am saying. 14 years after Hijrah, Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, one of the early Sahaba, was sabiqun al-awwalun, foremost Sahaba. He is the commander, the general of the armies that are standing on the border of Persia, ready to engage in combat. The general from the Persian side, his name was Rustam. And Rustam was a legendary Persian hero. They call him the Persian Hercules. They call Rustam the Persian Hercules. The word Rustam in Farsi is used for a person that is adorned with bravery and valor. Even nowadays, there are Persian people here. You call somebody Rustam, it's like he's a very strong person. True?
Yes.
So the word Rustam has been used for a person with valor, with bravery. Rustam was a mighty general. He thought about it. that there are many, many nations that make this great world in his time. They all have a civilization, they have a culture. What are these Arab people talking about? Who are they? They don't have a culture. They don't have personality. They are not enriched with anything. We have a culture. The Romans have a culture. The people of Hind have a culture. These people don't have any culture. The latest that we knew is that they are fighting amongst each other on petty issues. They are cameleers. They live in the deserts. This was his understanding. So he sent a person to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, who was the general. And he said that before we find ourselves in the battlefield, it is better that we discuss a few issues. I want to know why you are here. Why you are here? So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, he appointed Rabi bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala, fuqara sahabi. He was one of the destitute sahaba. Rabi bin Amir. He was only 30 years of age. I would like to halt here. What mighty iman of this one sahabi. It is just like standing in the house of the enemy of Allah. It's standing in the house of the enemy of Allah. You go into the house of the enemy of Allah. And he is in full control. He has manpower. He has resources. He has strength. And one person who is destitute, the only thing that he has is not visible. It is not tangible. It is iman and the connection with Allah. And he can stand and convey the message, not being overawed by what is surrounding him. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas says to Rabi bin Amr, you go. And go in the state that you are. Don't change anything. Go as you are. Don't change your clothes to suit those people. Don't change your appearance to suit those people. I'm not saying that a person that grows a beard, I'm not saying this, is better than that person that does not have a beard. But if we are removing our beard to please the community, the wider community, shouldn't we reflect upon this? People get into this discussion, is it compulsory or not? I say, didn't our Prophet grow it? Forget about the discussion. Is it compulsory or not? Didn't Nabi Akareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grow a beard? Isn't that good enough for us? Then to address this topic academically and rationally? Our Nabi grew a beard. There's no doubt about that. There's no ikhtilaf in this. Didn't the Ummahatul Mu'mineen and the noble Sahabiyat in their days cover their head? Why do we get into this topic? Where is it in the Quran? Is it applicable nowadays? Didn't our role models, didn't the wives of the Nabi of Allah cover their hair? Why don't my noble sisters cover their hair? And what is more dangerous is, if they are doing this, removing their head cover, shaving their beard, not imitating the Nabi of Allah completely, if they're doing this to please the wider community, then I would like my noble audience to reflect upon this one sahabi of 30 years of age who goes to the court of Rustam. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas says, kuch badalna nahi aapne, don't change anything. Go as you are. Rabi bin Amir says, why not? Small spear. And he walks. He's not even given consideration to the fact that he's speaking to the most powerful person in the world. He's not struck by this. Because he has a connection with Allah, so mighty, he walks. And when he makes it to the gates, they say, take off your armor. Take off your armor. You can't enter like this. He said, look, إِنِّي لَمْ آتِكُمْ وَإِنَّمَا جِئْتُكُمْ حِينَ دَعُوتُمُونِي فَإِن تَرَكْتُمُونِي هَكَذَا وَإِلَّا رَجَعْتُ. Simple. He said, look, if we were invited by a wealthy person, we will compromise everything to make it in front of him. People to get a visa for Australia, they become kafir. How many Muslims have become Qadianis and Ahmadiyyas to enter the country? How many Muslims have become Christians just to get the permanent residency of this dunya and at the same time secure the permanent residency of an-nar? Permanent residency of this Australia and permanent residency of an-nar. We will compromise everything. He says, look, you can't wear this, take it off. You have to shave your beard, shave the beard. These are the conditions. My head goes off to one brother that is in this group. I won't mention his name. He was getting a job in the Navy, but one of the conditions was shave the beard. He said, I'm not going to shave my beard. He had to resign. He had to leave. He didn't shave his beard. He kept his beard. He wanted to look identical to Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not getting into the academics. Is it farz? Is it sunnah? I'm not getting into that. I'm getting about looking like the Nabi of Allah. So he did not compromise. He kept the beard. He gave up the job. Allah give him success in this dunya. Indeed he will. And he has great reward for him in the hereafter. Rabi bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala, and he's standing on the gate. He says, look, that first of all, وَإِنِّي لَمْ آتِكُمْ, I have not come on my own accord. No. It's not like I want to come. وَإِنَّمَا جِئْتُكُمْ حِينَ دَعُوتُمُونِي, I have come because you have invited me. You sent a person that a messenger should come. فَإِن تَرَكْتُمُونِي هَكَذَا, if you leave me as I am, with the clothes and the sword or whatever I have, هَكَذَا, then it's fine. وَإِلَّا رَجَعْتُ, and if you say I can't come like this, I'm returning back. I don't need to see you. Whoa. What a strike. What an expression of iman. So what Rustam did, he had adorned his courtyard with all the goods that he had. He had chairs embedded with pearls, diamonds, you know, studded diamonds, pearls. He had beautiful carpets on which Rabi bin Amir was to walk over. And all this was on display, so it can weaken the imam of Rabi bin Amir. Rabi bin Amir enters the hall. He is unaware of the surrounding. He has come with a mission. He stands in front of Rustam. Rustam criticizes Rabi bin Amir that, what are you doing here? You are camel ears. You should be in the desert. What are you doing here? Now what he says is the maqsad of us in this dunya. And I would like you to learn these words. The tenure is the tenure of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. It is not to come and destroy people. He says, look, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَمْ بَعَثَتَنَا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَمْ تَعَثَنَا. Allah has sent us. First of all, he says, look, we have not come. Allah has sent us. Why? Why has Allah sent us in this dunya? لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. What profound words. لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ, to take out people. مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ, from the worship of people. إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ, to the worship of Allah. That is our maqsad. We don't want people bowing in front of people. We don't want people to be bowing in front of superpowers. We want mankind to bow in front of the one that has created this entire universe. لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ ذِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ, and from the narrowness of this dunya to the vastness of akhirah. We want to give people an understanding that this dunya is very narrow. It is qaleel. It is qaleel. It is very small. It has very little to give. It has very little to give. It doesn't have much anyway. And then there are so many people that have to share from it. Dunya doesn't have much to give anyway. And then there are so many people in the world that are running after it. That's why they say one of the best times to make dua is in the night, because there's no stampede. Everyone is sleeping. One on one with Allah. In the whole town of Brisbane, if you were to count, there may be only 10 or 15 people at that time praying. Baki soyewe. But this dunya, everyone, it's like a beehive, and everyone is pursuing the honey. But we have come to give you an understanding of akhirah that is much greater. And then the final conclusive words: wa min jawril adyan ila adlil islam. Wa min jawril adyan ila adlil islam. And we have come to take you out of the zulm, the tyranny, the oppression of systems created by man towards the system that is known as deen, that is an embodiment of adl. That is it. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and one person, out of rage, he uttered this statement. I want you to listen to this. He said, "Akhzaakallah." We understand this? "Akhzaakallah." Allah disgrace you. He said to a non-believer out of rage, "Akhzaakallah." The general came to know about this. He informed Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar said, "Tell that person to immediately come and give me a report. I want to speak to him." He's saying to the non-believers, "Akhzaakallah, Allah disgrace you." All his positions were removed from him. He said, "You have not come here to disgrace people. You have come here to elevate people. Why are you cursing people? Why are you cursing people? The maqsad of deen is adl. Adl between two brothers. A small matter arises and we drop all balances. Everyone works for his own ego. We drop all balances. Husband and a wife have a dispute, and all balances, scales of adl, drop to the ground. The husband is not mindful of what he is saying to his wife, that it has to be adorned with adl. The wife is not mindful of what she is saying, how both of them are behaving to each other, how the imam is behaving to the community to the imam, imam and the community amongst each other. Allahu Akbar Kabir. There's adl. This is the package that they went and presented. And let me tell you something else. Cutting the story short, Rabi bin Amir, when he said these words, Rustam was enraged. He said, "Teri aisi ki taisi. What are you saying? How dare you say this in front of me?" He said, "Wallah, I swear by the might of Allah, la takhruj hatta tahmila turaban min bisati. You will not leave until you carry a basket of earth." And this was to dishonor him out of my courtyard. So they put all this dirt on his head and he walked out. When he made it there into the court of Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, how musbat they were, positive in their approach. He could have taken this negatively, that they dishonored me. Look what they did. He said, "Allahu Akbar. We have won the battle." He said, "What do you mean you won the battle?" He said that this is the first installment of the land that we are going to take over. Positive. We are so negative in our approach. After a couple of days, when Allah gave victory to the Muslims, and Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, and this is what I want my brothers to remember. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas enters the court that a few days was adorned with the presence of Rustam and the Persian people. They were enjoying all the bounties in that courtyard. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, the general, when he enters, he looks around. He doesn't rejoice. He takes a lesson from them. Lesson, sabak. He sits to the ground and he starts to cry. What happens to us when we are in power? We don't establish adl. We become zalim. Keep in mind, Allah is watching. Allah will replace you. Somebody else will come. If as Muslims we think that we are the leaders of the world, but if we don't establish adl in our life towards humanity, Allah will take it away. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, he sat to the ground and he started to cry. And he recited those verses. Surah Dukhan, go back home. Take the reference. Surah 44, verse 25 onwards. Kam taraku min jannatin wa uyun wa zuru'in wa maqamin kareem wa na'matin kanu fiha faakihin kadhalika wa awrathnaha qawman akharin fama bakat alayhimus samaa'u wal ardu wa ma kanu munzareen. In Surah Dukhan, Surah 44, Allah speaks about Pharaoh. Kam taraku min jannatin wa uyun. How many gardens, how many springs they left behind? Pharaoh, when he was drowned with his people of 1,200,000, kam taraku min jannat. How many gardens, how many orchards, lush green, were left behind? How many springs were left behind? Wa na'matin, and comforts of life were left behind, wherein they used to take delight. Left behind. كَذَٰلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. Allah allowed other people to inherit. Allah gave it to Pharaoh, to his people. They did not maintain, establish justice. It was taken over. It was given to Bani Israel. And when they did not establish justice, it was taken away from them. Muslims have the reins, the control. They did not establish justice. Allah gave it to somebody else. Allah concludes the message by saying, فَمَا بَكَتَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. That not even the heavens or the earth cried upon their departure. And they were not given respite. Ibn Jarir in Tafsir al-Tabri, he makes mention on the strength of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that when a pious person passes away, the ground on which he made salah cries. This section that you're going to pray on, or you pray at her home, your sajjada, inshallah, when you depart from this world, by the will of Allah, that area will cry for you. And it said that the deeds that pass of a noble person into the heaven, we all have a selected door. The door of Uzair Akbar, the door of Muadzin Chacha Arif. There is one door for each person. And when good deeds pass through that door, it gives delight to that door. And when that person dies, that door is closed forever. That door cries for that person. My noble brothers and sisters, we are living in a very, very testing time, a complex time. Wherever you are, whatever position Allah has given you, do not forsake adl. I hear discussions amongst people. They forget that Allah is the master planner. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Allahu Akbar, kya hasiyat hai mari? What are we? What about Allah? Isn't Allah watching? I am going to divorce my wife. I'm not going to give her anything. Wife says, I'm going to do this. Children say, I am going to do this. What is I? This word I, this expression destroyed shaitan. Everything should be adorned with the hukum of Allah. And whenever we do something, say something, it should be adorned with adl. Remain united. If Allah has given you position wherever you are, maintain the adl of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. I would like my noble audience to remember what Amr bin Rabi said. وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. This was the package of Islam. That we have come with a package that is an embodiment of adl. And adl has to be established across the board. Justice. And justice means fair go. That somebody may hurt me, but I, with my words, my actions, my decisions, I'm not going to wrong anyone. I want to be clean on the day of judgment. I am better off if somebody says something to me, but I am clean, and I find myself in a position of cleanliness on the Day of Judgment. That somebody needs to give something to me rather than I give on the Day of Judgment something to somebody. Doesn't it make sense? Allah Rabbul Izzat, allow us to take this lesson from the life of these prolific personalities. Allah adorn the entire Muslim ummah with adl. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.